they're drinking town with a football problem. Hey everybody, this is the Piffles Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Alex.
I'm Steve.
I'm Amy.
You're here on time this week.
Yeah.
All right. That's fun.
I'm used to not going right after Steve.
There you go. Yeah. Well, you do now.
Yep. And I'm here.
Excellent.
On time.
Give us a follow on Twitter at PifflesPod. You can follow me at RealAlexD.
I am at Safamod.
And I am at CFL Hottie Bowl.
Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Check us out on Instagram. Just search PifflesPod. And make sure you check out the website, PifflesPodcast.com. As always, Piffles Podcast is brought to you by Bryn Werrett at Royal LePage Regina Realty. Check out BrynWerrett.com. That's BrynWerrett.com. Coming up on this week's show, I'm excited. We have a lot of good guests lined up, so we won't spoil anything right off the bat. Okay, let's spoil it.
Spoiler alert?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
If you don't want to know who you're going to listen to, skip ahead like 30 seconds.
Cover your ears. This week's Coney Island Poutine Cafe Piffles Player Profile is Caleb Hawley. We're going to have Engaging with the Enemy, talking to Toronto Argonauts linebacker Bear Woods.
Probably one of my fave.
He might be my favorite non-rider. And including riders, he still might be my favorite player in this league.
I actually haven't had a chance to. I wasn't there for the interview. I haven't had a chance to listen to it. I just hope he can match the awesomeness of his CFL Week interview.
He was pretty good. So fantastic. We'll play that in a little bit here. And I'm looking forward to this. In a few minutes, we're going to get a call from former Rider head coach, currently now with the Montreal Alouettes as an offensive consultant, Mr. Ken Miller.
I can't wait for that one.
That one, he's been on our list for a while, and now that he's making his return to the league, we thought, what better time than now to try and get this thing going and see if we can talk to him. And we'll talk to him in a few minutes. So that'll be great. Also on the show, we're going to recap that Riders versus Red Blacks game, winning 18-17. Moving the Riders' record to 7-6 and putting them in third place in the West.
Who'd have thunk it?
I think I had them in third. Yeah, I had them in third. So me, well, I would have thunk it.
It's because you're a homer.
Yeah.
Can you be a homer and still be right?
No. Not according to most people.
Didn't you also have Hamilton in the Grey Cup?
I had Hamilton in the Grey Cup and I had Edmonton at 4-14.
See, you weren't far off with Edmonton. You just didn't think they'd win a few first.
Yeah. But now that they're going to lose all their final 11 games, 7-11 versus 4-14, doesn't look too bad of a random guess there. We're also going to preview the Riders game against the Argos this upcoming Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. 11 inches into the Hottie Bowl. We'll see if we have a rant, and we'll do our Piffles picks. So let's get right into the show here. The Riders against the Red Blacks. Steve, I came over, we watched this at your place. There's a maple bug around here. That's weird. Steve, we watched this game at your place, and that run defense for the second straight week was god-awful.
I'm sorry, you say run defense like there actually was one?
Powell went off.
It was painful to watch for three and a half quarters. You knew every time, first down, they were running the ball. You could have spied James or William Powell the entire time. Sorry, I'm getting ahead to next week with James Wilder. You could have watched him every play, knowing he was getting the ball, and the holes were just wide open. He was untouched. What did he end up with?
180 some odd yards. It was just ridiculous.
A Red Blacks regular season record or Red Blacks record?
Yeah, it was a
record. In rushing yards. And I mean, I get it. Our front three right now is not our strength, but that was embarrassing.
Giving up that many yards and looking at what's coming ahead in the playoffs, because if the Riders are going to be in the playoffs this year, they're going to either Ottawa and Toronto. And if Powell's going to run crazy, they got James Wilder after that. And we're going to find out what James Wilder Jr. does in this upcoming game against Toronto. That's not looking too good on the front. They stay in the West. They got Andrew Harris and Jerome Messam to go through. And looking at it, that's scary. And it's the three-man rush. And I come back to it. And yes, it worked when we had Nick James, but he's not there.
And what bugs me the most is we were going up against Ryan Lindley. We knew they were going to run the ball. Because, what did he end up throwing? 22 passes all game?
Lindley was 17 of 31.
He ended up throwing 31 passes?
Yeah, because for some reason at the end of the game, even when it was tied or when they were only up by three, they were passing it instead of running the ball. They should have killed the clock and kept eating up first downs. But nope, they put it into the hands of Ryan Lindley.
Well, we've said it. Bad teams find a way to lose. And I'm sorry, I hate to say it. The Riders didn't win that game. Ottawa lost. And I hate saying that, but...
Well, I say it's a character win for the Riders, because they did actually, for the first time this season, really show that they can come back from adversity. They were down 17-0 inexplicably. Like, there was no reason for them to be down that bad. It could have been a lot worse with how... I mean, Powell ran for 187 yards. It could have been a lot worse than 17-0 at one point. So for them to come back and show that they can kind of take over that fourth quarter and win that is good. The defense was the reason why they won that game. And it'd be pretty hard for anybody to argue that and, in my opinion, not be wrong. The offense was terrible until they actually threw up a couple passes to Daron Carter in the fourth. That was when we finally actually got the offense moving. But
one, and you're right, and we were calling at halftime for potentially seeing Brandon Bridgend, you know, given the outcome at the end of the game. I'm glad they didn't, but I really got to wonder what's going on with Kevin Glenn.
That's two straight first halves where he's gotten zero. Yeah, they got 2 points against Calgary and were down 6-2 at the half against Calgary last week, but an offense doesn't generate you 2 points, a safety. The defense gets you that.
I can accept 2 points going up against Calgary. They've got one of the best defenses in the league. But, I mean, that we're talking about four straight quarters of bad football from the offensive side of the ball. And you got to wonder if maybe there's something going on with that hand injury that he's just not at 100%. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think he's
but when,
right.
How do they... I don't understand why they didn't make a change. Again, I'm glad, given the outcome, that they didn't. But how long is his leash right now?
Well, you got to think it's got to be shorter now, right? Because every time Bridges come in, yeah, mop-up time, I guess, but he still looked good. The game against Hamilton that he started, he looked good in that first half until we got 14 injuries. Like, it was just, I don't know what it is. Obviously, not having Nemon Roosevelt last week, that does hurt the offense. But did it really hurt it that bad? Like, to the point where they literally could not do anything? I don't know.
Honestly, we really got to give a shout out to the real momentum changer in that game. I don't think we win that game if it wasn't for Christian Jones and his 97-yard return.
I was going to say we got pizza at halftime.
Oh, you're welcome.
That
Rider
was
Nation.
Probably it, actually.
Oh, we were watching football on an empty stomach.
Yeah,
that's just stupid.
So we'll make sure we order pizza earlier next time.
All right, we'll. I'll get it in for pregame.
Done. But yeah, you're right. Christian Jones basically turned that game around, had that 97-yard punt return touchdown, and that changed all the momentum in the world.
And I remember when Christian Jones came in for his first game, and he had a great first... The game was it versus BC, if I remember correctly, where he showed pretty well, almost broke a couple. And I was starting to say, you know, this is our returner. This is who we need. Obviously, Marcus Thigpen looked good in limited action. But people right after that were calling for Chad Owens. They wanted to see Chad Owens. I said, no. Christian Jones looks good. Leave him in. He's had a great two games. Well, Chad Owens has had a great career. And that's all we heard. I think finally, now that we've actually returned one, maybe that stops. I doubt it, but...
Change is hard for people in this province. Yeah.
But this isn't even change. We're talking about a guy who's never played a down for Saskatchewan. Chad Owens has never been on the field as a Rider. He's like the epitome of backup quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, it's because we haven't had that call most of the year for a backup quarterback. Apparently backup kick returner is the,
that's the next one.
That's next on the list. But I love what he's doing right now, and he's looking great.
And he's a threat to take it every single time, and he's shown that since the very beginning. So good having him back in the lineup. He single-handedly got that game turned around and was a big reason why we won. And also want to give one more shout out to the secondary. And as much as I will rip on the D-line and the linebackers for getting absolutely torn apart in the run game, for the second straight game, the defense really, they bent, but they did not break. And the secondary just shut down Ryan Lindley pretty much for the most part the entire game. For the second straight game, the secondary was top-notch. And I think we're finally seeing what the secondary under a Chris Jones defense is, but they just got to get something up front because the front seven, it's just not cutting it right now.
Right now, our secondary is about as good as we can ask. Our linebacking core with Mwamba, Foster, Knox, Iguavin, that's a great four. We just need that pressure up front. And we've said it for how many weeks now? We need Nick James back. He is the difference maker on that front three. You put him in position, and I think we have arguably one of the best defenses in the league.
Absolutely.
And even right now, even the way they're playing, we've given up 2 touchdowns over the last 8 quarters of football.
That's pretty good.
I'll take that any day of the week.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back. The nice thing, it was a short week too, so, and they had to travel, so we'll give them a benefit of the doubt on that. That the fact that they only really had 1 full practice day and then a walkthrough before they had to fly out to Ottawa, so benefit of the doubt that it was just a tough week for travel and going across country and short week.
We're going to find out on Saturday.
Yeah, with them staying out in Ontario this week, there's absolutely no reason for them to not be ready against Toronto. But we'll see what happens. What I find is going to be interesting to see this week is who's actually playing for the Riders this week against Toronto. First off, Nemanja Roosevelt sounds like he'll be playing.
Yes.
So that's good. And going up against a Corey Chandler defense.
Did he get a concussion?
Oh, yeah. Had to have.
They didn't officially diagnose him with one, though.
Although you can get knocked out without suffering a concussion.
Yep.
He got KTFO.
Yeah. So, but he was practicing and sounds like he's going to be good to go. And
I'm glad he's okay.
Yeah, and I figured once they took him to Ottawa in the first place last week that they would hold him out for that game. But if you're going to take him out there, obviously your plan is that he's okay for the second game.
And if you're having concussion issues, you're not flying.
No. So that's kind of what led me to believe that he's good.
Yeah, I think actually last week, if that wasn't a short week, we might have seen him. But I'm glad we didn't.
Absolutely.
That's the right call. I don't care if he was 100%. You take a hit like that, you get knocked out.
We need him
just
for
sit out a week.
We need him for the stretch run. And look at the situation, too, going into Ottawa against a team that was, 5-8-1, whatever they were, 5-7-1 going into that game, and with a third-string quarterback. The Riders should have won that one a lot more than they did. But
you know who we haven't given a shout-out to? Josh Bartel. The Rouge. We won with a Rouge.
Take that, Rob Maver.
Didn't he tweet, 2 days ago or something, or 2 days before that, the Rouges don't win football games?
Well, he said that they're usually a failed kick because you're trying to pin them deep on a punt in the, at the 1 yard line.
Oh, yeah. And then Josh Bartel said, yeah, same. I think they're dumb too. And somebody replied to him after the game, or how do you feel about them now?
Yeah, that was me.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh.
I bet you Josh Bartel is a fan of the Rouge right now. That might be his first career winning point.
Game winning Rouge. Yeah.
I've tried to follow to see. I know Derek Taylor was on it to see if it had ever happened in the CFL before. I don't remember a Rouge for the win.
It just sounds
It has to have happened. It has to have happened.
We've seen attempts at a Rouge for a win.
Yeah.
But it's never actually worked.
So, player of the game, special teams. Christian Jones, Josh Bartel.
And
you know what? Both of those guys have been on our show.
That's right. And Josh Bartel was on the show last week. So that was, I guess, an omen of things to come.
So if you're a fantasy football player,
pick up
Caleb Hawley because he is going to go off.
Don't you guys always blame us for the players having great games? Ed Gainey was on the show and then he had 4,000 picks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ed Gainey's been a different player since we interviewed him. You're welcome, Rider Nation.
Y'all are welcome.
Yeah, but people don't focus on that. They focus on the fact that we interviewed Christian Jones, and then 2 weeks later he got hurt, and then Nemanja Roosevelt a couple weeks ago, and then got hurt against
Calgary.
They focus on that, but anyway.
They say potato, we say potato, whatever.
The other player that's going to be playing this week, and Steve, I can see you face-palming right now, we have found out that Trent Richardson is going to play in this game. He's not going to start, because I think that'll really screw with the ratio. And that'll end up taking Caleb Hawley off the field, and I don't think they're prepared to do that. Thoughts on Trent Richardson's debut as a Rider here against Toronto?
I hope he does well. I really do. I hate not being a fan of a move. I'd like to be a fan of this. I just can't get behind this one for some reason. And you know what? If he goes off and busts off, 40 yards on 3 carries or 5 carries and has a great, first impression, great. I hope he proves me wrong. And we've seen people comment, Alex Green had, a great first game after sitting out for 2 years. But Alex Green wasn't one of the biggest busts in NFL history. That's why people are disappointed. Or not disappointed. That's why people are preparing for the worst, I guess.
Well, he just showed nothing in his last season in Cleveland, and then in Indianapolis, he was even worse. That's why, like, and that's why I have concerns about him on this team as well. I don't see this as a long-term vision, and again, I see this as our management trying to make a splash with the NFL community.
I really hope it works.
Oh, I hope so, too. Nothing would make me happier than for us to be wrong, but I honestly expect him to get, like, 6 carries and, like, 9 yards at best. Like, I just see him only getting a couple here and there.
Like, we've shown we are willing to eat crow if we have to. And I will gladly load up a plate. And to steal a comment from you earlier in the season, I just have no faith in this decision. And you ate a little bit of crow on that? I hope I do on this.
I'm still eating crow on that.
Like, I don't get it. Especially with the fact that we don't run the ball.
And that's the curious part, is that it's not like we're having poor games from LaFrance and Marshall when he was healthy, and Craig Morris has been electric every time he touches the ball. It's just, we just don't run the ball, and that's an offensive coordinator's problem. That's Steve McAdoo.
LaFrance was 12 carries for 52 yards, almost 4.5 yards a carry.
Yeah, not lighting the world on fire, but still.
He's serviceable.
Yeah.
In a position where we don't use it. I don't get it, and I think you're right. I think this is just an attempt to make a splash, but I'm behind it if it works. I'll get behind it. I'll give it a chance. I'm not going to completely write him off. I'm going in with next to no expectations. That's not true. I'm going in with very low expectations. And if he surpasses them,
set the bar low so you're never disappointed.
Exactly. I don't get it.
Dating tips from Alex. Also applies to football. Well, we'll talk about a little bit more about the Argos game in a little bit here. But before we get to that, we'd like to bring on someone that Rider Nation has an abundance of love and respect for, and deservedly so. It's been a while since we've done our alumni segment of the show, so who better to bring on than former Rider head coach, Grey Cup winning offensive coordinator, and currently an offensive consultant with the Montreal Alouettes, Mr. Ken Miller. Mr. Miller, thank you so much for your time.
It's great to be back on.
Now, what made you come back to the CFL with the Montreal Alouettes as an offensive consultant?
Well, it's kind of a long story, but about a month ago, I was talking with Craig Dickinson, you know, the special teams coach with the Riders, and we had exchanged some information and emails. And on a parting email that I wrote, I said I missed being in the mix. And then, lo and behold, about 3 weeks ago, my wife and I in Asheville, North Carolina, we were returning home from a hardware store, and I had a phone call. I didn't answer it because I was driving, but when I got home, I answered, and it was Kavis Reed. And Kavis, as you know, he said, the coach, he said, I want to think about a way to have you come up and help us out. And as you know, Kavis was a special teams coach for me back in about 2009 or something with the Riders. And a good friend, and when a friend in need calls, you answer the call. So it's a combination of missing being in the mix and then coming up here to see if I can't do something to help Kavis get this organization, moving along smoothly.
Now, speaking of that, Darian Durant struggled quite a bit this season. What's wrong with him?
Well, it's hard to pinpoint right now. It's a new system and new coaches and a new environment and all those kinds of things. Plus, I think that there has been some injury issues along the way that has kept him from performing at his very best.
Now, with your role with the Alouettes, how much input do you have with the team right now?
Well, I'm here and I give advice when asked. I don't have a lot of authority, but the coaches here are really quite open, and I'm able to talk with coaches individually. I'm able to talk with players individually and talk with them about schemes and techniques and those kinds of things. And so it's a limited role, but I think it's an important role.
Now, when you discuss this with Kavis Reed, did you guys decide it was going to be like a long-term thing, or how long do you plan on sticking around in Montreal?
Well, when I first accepted the thing, I thought that I'd be able to come up here and maybe sprinkle a little pixie dust around and just have magic occur, and that I'd be up here until about U.S. Thanksgiving. But I certainly plan on being here until the end of the season.
Now, before you joined the Alouettes, what was keeping you busy in your retirement?
Well, I had gotten back from a 5 month situation in Italy. I had gone over there and coached American football in northern Italy and really had a great time. So I had gone over there with Adam Rita, who was the former GM when I was a coach in Toronto with the Argonauts.
Now, going back to your time in Saskatchewan, kind of take us through it. What was your take on your time here?
You know, my wife and I, we love the city. We love Saskatoon. Actually, we love the province, and we love the people there. And really, for both of us, it was really probably the highlight of our lives to have lived there in Regina, and certainly the highlight of my life, coaching career, to have the opportunity, first of all, to be the offensive coordinator in 2007 with Kent Austin, and then to become the head coach. It was a dream come true, and a fanciful kind of a thing that turned out really well.
Was there one thing above all others that kind of stuck out that you're never going to forget when it comes to your time in Saskatchewan?
You know, the players who I referred to all the time as the men in the room, they were so cooperative and helpful and really wanted to be successful and were really easy to coach. But the relationship that I had with those players, those men, those are really the things that are fulfilling for me.
No, actually, that kind of leads into the next question I have for you here. A lot of your former players say that you were almost like a father to them. Did you ever approach the team like that, though?
Well, I don't know about as being a father. I know sometimes they even referred to me as being a grandfather and was called Grandpa, maybe behind my back a little bit. But certainly one of my objectives was, in addition to providing structure and trying to win football games, was to provide an environment where I was able to give advice, you know, just from a life perspective, to help the players there, who all of them really develop skills that would be beneficial with their families and in their careers beyond football.
Now, kind of going off of that as well, I don't want to talk too much about, obviously, 2009 and the 13th man, but I want to talk about a little bit the aftermath on that. How did you deal with the players then on how to go forward with their careers and their lives after something like that happened?
Well, you know, that was really a devastating loss for us. And as I explained to media at the time and have explained to a lot of people in speaking engagement since, you know, when you win in football, you win as a team. When you lose in football, you lose as a team. And so everybody was trying to find out who the extra player was. And really, there is no purpose in that because of the close-knit family that we had of a team. Once you start laying blame and trying to find a scapegoat, it really erodes the team and the belief that that people have in the team. So we just took that as a lesson that for whatever reason it wasn't meant for us to win that particular football game. We had a lot of things in place to prevent what happened that happened, but it happened nonetheless. And so the idea is that as you strive for excellence, if you fall short, the thing you do is you get up and you find a way to continue to persevere and achieve excellence in another endeavor and on another play and another game and another season.
Now, I think we've kind of gone over the 13th man enough here. We want to flip the script a little bit. What would you say is your favorite career highlight? Not necessarily just Saskatchewan, but over your career as a whole.
Well, when I first went to the University of Redlands, I coached with a man whose name was Frank Sorrell, and he really changed my demeanor, I changed my demeanor under his leadership, I should say. You know, at one time, I was kind of a screamer and a yeller, but when I was with him, he had a tendency to talk with meaning and concern and less volume, and I found that when you talk with a little less volume, a little bit more purpose, that people have a tendency to listen better to you. So that was really one of the great highlights. And then certainly the Grey Cup in 2007 was a great highlight. And even though we didn't win in 9 and 10, those are still prime examples in my life for me of highlights.
I'm not going to lie, I'm having a hard time picturing Ken Miller as a screamer and a yeller.
At one time, I was referred to as the meanest man in America. So.
You should see the look on our faces right now, because I don't know if we believe that. It's just so hard to believe.
Like I said, I amended my ways, and the thing that I found is that when you talk respectfully and keep your voice down, that when something occurs and you do raise your voice, people have a tendency to pay a lot more attention.
Now, this question doesn't necessarily pertain to football. It can, but could also be on the outside world as well. What in your life would you say you are most proud of?
You know, I think I'm really proud of my family, the influence that I've had with my family, you know, my wife, my children, my grandchildren. But along with that, I think that, you know, having begun coaching in 1966 and now still coaching here in 2017, I think that I've had an opportunity to have tremendous influence over numerous players and players' families.
Now, I know when we started setting up this interview, you were traveling in Italy at the time. You've done a lot of traveling in your time. What's your favorite destination that you've traveled to, and what made it kind of the best?
You know, one of my favorite places. In 2014, I coached the offensive line in Cedar City, Utah for Southern Utah University, and that was a tremendous place. We were just a short drive from Zion National Park and all of the beauty that is in that part of the country. But while we were in Italy, I went to Venice, and a lot of people have said that they don't like Venice when they were there. But I absolutely loved and adored Venice. It was a great place. And part of the reason, I think, is because it was the home base for Marco Polo, who had such a historical impact in traversing the Silk Road and all that sort of thing. So I'd say those things.
Now, before we let you go, I'll leave this last comment to you. Do you have any words for the Rider fans here in Saskatchewan?
You know, I'd love the Rider fans in Saskatchewan, and it just so happens that on the day that the Alouettes play in Regina, play the Rough Riders in Regina, that I'm going to be doing a fundraising event in Saskatoon. So I'm eager to come back and eager to see the people of the province.
Can you tell us a little bit about the fundraiser event?
It's a fundraiser by the Knights, sponsored by the Knights of Columbus, and it's for the Children's Hospital there in Saskatoon. And it just comes on the heels. Our team yesterday, we officially had a day off, but they came in and we visited the Children's Hospitals here in Toronto. And what an impact the players have on those young people, an impact on those young people's parents. And then not only that, but an impact on the caregivers in those hospitals. It was a tremendous and exciting thing, and I'm really looking forward to being part of a great event that would fund a similar kind of a project there in Saskatoon.
That sounds great. Anything for kids is absolutely worth it. Mr. Miller, the CFL is a better place with you in it. Thank you so much for your time tonight.
Well, thank you very much for the invitation. It's been my pleasure to be on.
Thank you so much. I still think it's great to see him in the league, although I'm still not sure why he was brought back in the grand scheme of things by Montreal. But like I just said, the league is a much better place with him because he's such a great individual. And I think we were fortunate enough to have him for as long as we did.
Hear, hear.
So I don't think you'll find anybody that has anything negative to say about Cam Miller. And that includes everybody in this room. Just a great, great guy. Let's move on here. Talk about the Argos game a little bit more here. James Wilder Jr. versus the Riders run defense. Will the Riders figure it out?
No. I see no reason to expect them to. They're going in with the same lineup as far as we know right now. Obviously, we're a little removed from practice, so maybe they've got some surprises up their sleeves. But nothing right now leads me to believe that they can figure out rushing defense.
And what scares me is James Wilder Jr. is a little bit more motivated now because October being Breast Cancer Awareness Month, he's donating $1 for every yard that he gets to breast cancer research. So if William Powell gets 187 yards against us and most of that in the first half, if I'm Ricky Ray, I'm telling my offensive coordinators, we're handing the ball off. Every time we see a three-man front, I'm audibling. I'm handing the ball off every single time.
Absolutely. And kudos to Wilder for his he called out to all the other running backs in the league. I know a couple have stepped up already to do the same with that donation. So good on you for that. You know, I hope you don't donate too much, which sounds really, really bad.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean?
You're a terrible person.
Like, you know
what?
I
hope you get 0 yards and still donate a lot of money.
There you go. You know what? I hope he goes off for 250 yards, 0 touchdowns, and we win.
That'd be all right.
Right.
Yeah. Well, would it be all right? Because then we have the same conversation next week.
Would that surprise you?
No, I guess not.
I mean,
spoiler, next week we're going to talk about how bad the Riders' run defense is.
The next three running backs we play are James Wilder, William Powell, and Jerome Messam.
Great.
They have to figure something out. And you said it, we're going into the playoffs, we're going up against William Powell, James Wilder, Jerome Messam, or Andrew Harris.
Yeah, November weather isn't nice, so it's not like you have to have a power run game in the playoffs.
And the one thing that we lack right now is a running game. And the other thing that we lack on the flip side is run defense.
Yeah. I'm going to say it again. We're getting dominated in the trenches. And it's going to show in the playoffs. So when we get blown out in a playoff game, I wouldn't be surprised. Unless that line play on both sides drastically improves. Now, speaking of improving, can the offense finally get rolling? We've seen, like I said, back-to-back games where they've been shut out in the first half. But with Kevin Glenn, he's been bad. And yeah, it's probably because of his hand. And does that make his leash even smaller?
It has to. Can he get going? Absolutely. He's a grizzled vet with how many years under his belt. The one positive this week is we're getting Roosevelt back. Now, obviously, versus Calgary, that didn't mean a whole lot. No offense to Roosevelt, obviously not his fault, but you know, we couldn't move the ball then. I see no reason to expect better, but maybe another week with rest of that for that hand might do the trick. Our offense has shown they can move the ball, and they can score points almost at will when they want to.
I think it comes down to offensive coaching and the play calling that's being made. If we're mixing in that short passing, that seems to be our bread and butter. When we get Deron Carter the ball on hitches and screens, even if he doesn't break them for big long gains, our offense still moves better doing that. And we saw against Ottawa when they take away the short passes, our offense doesn't seem to be able to move. Those things make the whole offense work. So they got to get back to that because there's too much inconsistency some games that's all we'll see and they'll never take a deep shot. But then all they're doing in other games is going 20 plus yards all the time, waiting for those deep routes to develop. And then there's no time.
Well, when you have no run game that the defense has to respect.
Well, they can just pin their ears back and go all the time.
And that's what we've seen.
Yeah, it'll be.
I said it in the keys to the game versus Ottawa when I wrote the preview for that game. one of the biggest keys, you said it, get Daron Carter involved early. Doesn't matter how, those pitches, those, what do you call it, the jet sweep, any just way to get the ball into his hands, he is a different player when he gets into it early.
And we saw in the fourth quarter, once they started forcing the ball, that's when the offense moved. Yeah. So that's going to be the key again this week.
I'm going to go out on a limb. Kevin Glenn throws for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns this week. I think he's going to get off the schneid.
I hope so. Okay, well, I don't think anybody wants to hear us talking about the Argos anymore. Why don't we talk to an Argonaut himself? Get a little bit more inside perspective.
Why don't you do that?
Well, I did because they weren't available tonight. They were busy. So, unfortunately, I had to do this interview by myself earlier today.
You poor guy.
I know. I'm sorry.
Can I ask one question?
Ask away.
Did Slaw Dogs come up in conversation?
Give me like 20 seconds.
All right.
Time now for Engaging with the Enemy. All right, so this week we chat with Toronto Argonauts middle linebacker Bear Woods. Bear, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thanks. I'm glad to be here. Thank you all.
Now, last time we talked to you was during CFL week. You were still with the Montreal Alouettes then. Now, first off, I have to ask the question, how are the Slaw Dogs in Toronto compared to Montreal?
Well, my wife makes the Slaw Dogs, so as long as she's with me, they're just as good no matter where we are.
What's your favorite part of being in Toronto so far?
Oh, well, my team, honestly, like all the guys here, has been great. If you're asking for more of a, you know, the city itself, I think the fact that I have access to my truck like I do back home feels definitely more like what I'm familiar with on a day-to-day basis, being able to get in my truck and go to Walmart. That's a big deal. So being able to do that makes me and my family very comfortable.
Do you find that affects on the play field as well, that you're a little bit more comfortable, used to the routine?
No, not really. But nonetheless, I know it's easier on my wife that we enjoyed Montreal because we were downtown. But now, like I said, we're in a neighborhood, and with I got a 4-year-old daughter and a 2-year-old son. So it's not as dangerous for them to get out on the sidewalk and have a little more freedom to roam.
Now, over the last week, news came out that you were released from Montreal because of practice conditions that you went to the union with. And, I hate to kind of ask about that, but it is kind of the big story. Do you care to take us through what happened?
No, man, I made statements on that already, you know, and I was given no inclination that would have been a reason that I was released. So that story is well beyond my understanding or whatever. So that's about the only statement I have for that. I mean, that's so far an ancient past, I could care less whether that was the reason or not the reason. So it doesn't matter to me.
Do you find any animosity on the field when you play them?
No, they're an Eastern Division opponent, which that brings enough natural animosity. So I don't. Yeah, like I said, it was really a strange ordeal leaving there. But when I stepped into here to Toronto and having a lot of my core teammates like S.J. Green, Alan Michael Cash, even Winston Venable was here at the time when I came on my visit. This is where I was supposed to be, being with Jim Pott, being with Mark Trestman. I was more comfortable on this roster than I was at the one I just left, probably.
No, that's enough football talk. That stuff's boring. who is your hero and why?
Oh, that's easy. It's my dad. And simply put, he's a man of faith. You know, he led me to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's a guy who's one of 11 kids, worked on a tobacco farm. No college education and owns his own business. He's 66 years old and still puts in close to 120 hours a week. Wow. Being a private business owner, just seeing him work and raising 4 kids along with my mom and being a pastor, which he was never paid to preach. I didn't realize preachers were even paid until I was about 17 because my dad worked a full-time job and still preached. Absolutely. He created an opportunity for me to walk on the Troy, which means he footed the bill for me my first 2 years. And then has given me every opportunity to play this game of football and has taught me to be a man. So without a doubt, it's my dad.
I love that. That's great to hear. What is your best hidden talent?
Well, it used to be hidden, but people found out recently. I mean, I can play the guitar pretty good. And I can kind of dabble on about any instrument, really. But I actually sang at my former teammate's wedding this past May, Kai Hebert of the Alouettes. So probably just have a little musical ability. So that's probably what people don't know.
Now, speaking of music, what kind of music is on your playlist?
Boy, it ranges as ages went on, but definitely my favorite music as a teenager was 90s grunge from Seattle, you know, Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, Alice in Chains. Growing up, it was definitely CCR, Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Yes.
Listened to old country music with my dad, Hank Williams, Johnny Cash, then into some Merle Haggard, and then Lynyrd Skynyrd being from the Jacksonville, Florida area, Allman Brothers. So Southern rock, grunge, blues, Stevie Ray Vaughan's my favorite guitarist. And so it ranges.
Anything new you like?
No, not really. I think the newest that I go probably is like a Breaking Benjamin or Chevelle, and that's still about a decade old at this point.
Godsmack. Hey, there we go. That's a great band. No Taylor Swift or Beyonce or anything, though?
Oh, man. No way. I think from a female singer... I enjoy Miranda Lambert, I believe the country singer. The female singers in country music really are great. I just don't listen to them.
Well, she's actually coming to Regina here on Friday, so I'll make sure we say hi to her for you.
Oh, wow, please do. She's incredible.
Now, also on music, who's the greatest musician or band of all time?
Ooh, that's pretty tough, man. I guess the greatest musician of all time, if I just go on strictly by... guitar, let me answer guitarist. I think Stevie Ray Vaughan and just his ability and skill and his ability to sing while playing the way he did was incredible. Greatest band of all time. Honestly, I think the most talented band is probably Rush, and I'm not just throwing that out there because I'm in Canada. I mean, true enough, man, that's a three-man band, and they make it sound like there's six of them on stage. You know, and Geddy Lee playing those bass riffs and singing, it still blows my mind. I don't know how you keep that rhythm and sing. So it'd probably be, like I said, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Rush, possibly. That might be it, man, and I've given a lot of thought. That's probably it.
What is your most embarrassing moment in your life?
I've had a pretty good life. Let's see, embarrassing moment. I'll take you back to a high school football. No, that ain't one. You kind of got me at the moment.
Did you ever wear something that you're embarrassed?
Oh, yeah, that just reminded me of something. It was my most embarrassing moment was an almost moment. I was in eighth grade, and I was a big Doors fan with Jim Morrison,
mm-hmm.
and then Creed came out, and Scott Stapp was wearing leather pants, and I went to purchase leather pants.
No,
my best friend though, it was an almost happened. Had my best friend not have been there, I absolutely would have bought those pants and worn them the next day. And who knows just how my life would have turned out if that happened. So that was my almost embarrassing moment.
What scares you?
Oh, what scares me? Crushing government debt and iron-fisted tyranny. Besides that, I have no worries.
So a Bear Woods biopic is being made. Who plays you in that movie?
Yeah, these are good questions. I'm going to go with... Dude, I don't even know actors, man. I'm a pretty lame guy. Let me think. I'm trying to think of a wrestler. I don't.
Would they have the same hair as you too, though?
No, that'd be hard. I haven't really seen anyone with my hair, so that'd be pretty difficult. Heck, I don't know, man. I couldn't even think of an actor. Sylvester Stallone, bro. I'll go with Sylvester Stallone.
I can't go wrong with him.
Yeah.
So you mentioned you do have two children. What's the wackiest things your kids have ever done to you?
Let's see. I don't really know, man.
You've been out shopping at all, and they just say the most random thing, and you just like looked around and like, these aren't my kids.
Yeah, they're not quite to that age yet. But I think it ain't wacky. That's pretty funny. We were at a store the other day, and we're trying on Halloween costumes, and my son was in a dinosaur. Or no, my daughter was in a dinosaur suit. My son was a hedgehog, and of course, they figured out dinosaurs would eat a hedgehog, so they were running around the store at dinosaur full suits too, and it was hilarious. Thankfully, people were laughing, but that was a pretty funny experience.
And that's what they decided. That's what they're going to go for as Halloween this year.
No, of course not. They changed their mind 30 different times, and I can't even remember what it even is at this point.
Just keep the tags and the receipt. They'll change their mind in a week anyway, right?
That's right.
Now, final one for you. You get to be off daddy duties. You have the day off to yourself. No kids, no football. What are you doing?
Where am I at?
You can be wherever you want.
Oh, man. I'm definitely going to go to our family property. And if it's hunting season, I'm going to hunt. And if it's not hunting season and the weather's good, I'm going to go fishing. And if the fish ain't biting, I'm going to have my rifles with me. I'm going to just do some shooting.
Excellent. Bear, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you all.
There is Bear Woods of the Toronto Argonauts here on Engaging with the Enemy. Sorry you guys couldn't be here when I was able to talk to him.
Rude.
This guy, is, honestly, he's just seems like the coolest guy that you just want to sit down with and just talk about life with, because he's so open about things and he's just fun to talk to.
It's not often. Well, that's not true. Every time you get to do an interview that I'm not there, I'm a little jealous, but Bear Woods.
Do you have a man crush on him?
He's fantastic. I don't know about a man crush, but man.
I'll say it. I have a man crush on Bear Woods.
Do you want to be BFFs with him?
Hell yeah.
Go fishing with him for 7 hours and sit on the lake and drink beer and talk. And
I'm not a fisherman by any stretch, but I would gladly grab a six-pack and go fishing with Bear Woods. 100%.
Same. Yeah, he'd be.
But I wouldn't touch any fish.
That's fine.
He'd do it. I caught one. Here you go.
Yeah, he would do it. It'd be great.
Do the thing.
I did the thing. You know, you do the thing.
Yeah, it was great of him to take time, but I promise next time that we get in contact with Bear Woods, we'll make sure that you guys are around. Sorry about that. Don't blame me. It was the only time that they were made available today.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that wasn't the case, because I'd love to have him on even longer and just sit there and talk.
Can we just have a weekly Bear Woods segment?
Yes.
I think so.
Let's have our people call his people.
So, yeah, I guess I'm our people. I'll give Bear a call and see if we can get him back on the show.
Coming up next, this week's Coney Island Poutine Cafe Piffles Player Profile.
And me.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Who was supposed to stay tuned?
Everybody should stay tuned. Stay tuned. Piffles Podcast is supported in part by Bryn Werrett at Royal LePage Regina Realty. A longtime volunteer with your Regina Thunder, Bryn is a proud supporter of local football. Check out BrynWerrett.com, that's BrynWerrett.com, while you enjoy the rest of this episode of the Piffles Podcast. Time now for the best part of the show.
I like you a lot, lot. All we want is hot, hot.
Sing it.
Boys, boys, boys.
Let's get to this week's Hottie Bowl.
Boys, boys, boys.
You can keep going.
I have to sing Gaga. She is my queen. Okay, this week our player was born February 14th, 1986 in Montreal, Quebec. He is 6 feet 1 inch, 220 pounds or 230 pounds, depending on which website you look at. He signed in Montreal in 2010, spent 7 seasons there. In February of 2017, he signed with the Saskatchewan Roughriders. However, he retired in May just before training camp. He spent the summer practicing law in Montreal. He got a call in September from the Riders, and he rejoined the team, I say in brackets, September 20th. He is this year's first repeat player. He is a safety number 19 for the Saskatchewan Roughriders, Mark Brulette? How do you say his last name properly?
Well, it's Marc Olivier.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we thought it was Briette. But yeah. Apparently it's Brulette.
You said the same thing 2 times.
No, slightly different.
It's just Marc Olivier
B.
B.
Marc Olivier Brulette. Brulette.
You know, I mean, obviously, you didn't pick him right off the start of the season because
he retired
the day before training camp. But I'm surprised you didn't pick him the day that he signed back with the Riders. I'm really surprised you weren't like, nope, that's my guy.
I wasn't here that week. Well, and you guys picked your damn self.
No. You had a week to yourself first.
Yep.
Who did I pick? Whoever was before you guys?
Yeah.
Oh, the guy from Calgary.
Oh, Junior Turner.
Yeah. Sorry, I wasn't talking into the microphone. I'm new at this.
Yeah, you picked Junior Turner, and then
And then you guys picked your damn selves.
That got your best responses.
No.
Ever for the Hottie Bowl, by the way.
It didn't.
Do we get shirts? I think we got to get shirts.
They're in the mail.
Pay for them yourselves.
Hey, we're official Hottie Bowl members. That's really all that matters.
Yeah.
You damn fools.
Right up, right up there alongside Mark Olivier B. and...
No.
And John Chick's arms.
You guys are both the size of one of John Chick's arms.
And just like John Chick this year, I don't think we're winning this battle.
No.
I love that. That's still my favorite stat of this season. John Chick has still not won a game in the 2017 season.
Really?
Really. Because he was 0-8 with Hamilton. He got traded to Edmonton. And they've gone 0-7 since they brought him in.
0-6.
Is it 0-6?
Yeah, they're only 7-6.
I guess so, yeah. Math is hard.
That's funny.
But yeah, he's gone 0-14 this year.
15. 14.
Jesus.
Math is hard.
No, using your numbers.
You correct me and then you screw it up.
Yeah, anyway, well, so first year or first repeat player. And I'm not mad about it.
Well, Mark Olivier B., thank you for sticking around on the Hottie Bowl because you made it 2 years in a row.
I bet you he's really glad he didn't retire now.
And this is the first rider you picked this year, right?
No, second. Eddie Steele.
Right. I keep forgetting you have a little crush on him.
He's a hottie.
I keep forgetting that, apparently.
Hence why he's on the Hottie Bowl.
All right, so you have another Canadian.
Yes.
Another rider, so that leaves one rider left.
Yeah.
Are you sticking with the ratio, too?
Oh, yeah.
She's probably already past that. There's a lot of good-looking Canadian kids in this league. So another Canadian and another rider.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, thank you, Amy.
Hey, no problem.
Moving on here, time now for this week's Coney Island Poutine Cafe Piffles Player Profile.
I really want to know. Tell me, who are you?
This week on the Coney Island Poutine Cafe Piffles Player Profile, we learn more about rider-receiver Caleb Hawley.
What's your favorite part about being a football player? And then what's the toughest part about being a football player?
The funnest part about being a football player is just you get to meet different people, you travel a lot, you go to different places, and just have fun, really. Hardest part about being a football is waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
I wake up at 3:30, so I know all what you're talking about. So take us through a typical day off for you. What's keeping you busy?
Typical day for me on an off day?
Yeah.
Okay, on an off day, get up, eat, come here, look at, like, we usually have gray sheets, you know, see your grays. Get in the cold tub, hot tub, bumps it, and take on your bumps and bruises, and then go home, play video games.
What kind of video games do you play?
We've got Madden, Call of Duty, Wildlands, Ghost Recon Wildlands. That game is so dope. It's fun. So, and what else? We play a lot of games, actually. Fast Furious, all that.
If you could have any superpower in the world, what would it be and why?
If I could have any superpower in the world, superpower, probably speed, just be faster than anybody.
You're not fast enough right now?
No, I want to get faster.
Right. You find a golden lamp, a genie pops out, gets you 3 wishes. What are your 3 wishes?
Oh, to be the richest man. 3 wishes. All right, first wish, health, perfect health. Cure racism.
Yes.
Cure racism. Be rich forever.
All right, now I want to get, since you said kill racism, and I absolutely agree, what is your stance on what's going on in the States right now?
Just by seeing everything happening, I mean, it's really sad to see because it's it seems like it's getting worse than better. So, and just to see your own president be, you know what I'm saying, feel some separate way about you, I don't know how to really explain it. Like, it's just, it's not right, it's not cool, you don't. And we elected them, and that's the crazy part about it. So, it's just tough just to see that stuff, like, the stuff he's saying and stuff like that. So, you've seen on TV, players, everybody's coming together. So, I mean, that's all you really can do. Peaceful protest, I'm sorry.
You know, you said you'd be the richest man in the world. What would be the first thing you blow just the biggest wad of money on?
My mom. I would buy my mom the biggest house she can find.
Most car, everything.
Everything. Mom, what do you want? She can go and do whatever she wants.
All right, now following that, who's your hero? Is your mom your hero?
Oh, most definitely. My mom's been my dad, mom, everything since day one. She's never let me down, so that's my basis. She's my hero.
What made you get into football in the first place?
Ooh. I was at a track meet one time. I was at a track meet, and one of my friends was like, yo, I play football. I was like, all right, cool. I mean, I started playing football my freshman year in high school. So, what happened? It was a track meet. He introduced me to one of his coaches. He said, just run a go route. I just ran and I fly. I just caught the ball. He's like, you're on the team. And that's how I started.
That was it.
Now,
what's the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you?
The most embarrassing thing? Playing football. I hit a bench, right? So I knocked the gas out of my leg, right? So I was on crutches in the cafeteria. I was walking on crutches, and I slipped on a pizza wrapper in front of everybody. The worst experience ever.
Anybody at least give you pizza after that?
No, I just had my own pizza, which flew in the air, and I fell, and everybody's laughing. Look at me falling. I'm like, I'm on the crutches. Like, somebody help me! So.
Find out who your real friends are. What's on Caleb Hawley's Netflix account?
What's on my Netflix account? Everything. I literally watch everything. Scary movies, documentaries, what else? Thrillers, all of it. Yes, everything.
If you could only eat one meal for the rest of your life, what is it?
If I can eat one meal the rest of my life, probably. That's a tough question. Steak. Steak. I can eat steak.
How do you cook your steak?
Medium well.
That's the right answer, by the way. And finally for you, we ask everybody here, cats or dogs, and why?
Dogs, because I feel like dogs are leaders.
That's simple.
That's just that simple.
Dogs, just that simple.
Yep.
No.
Always dogs. You're outnumbered now, boy.
I know this. I've caught on to this. Yep. Even I'm turning to team dog. I don't mind dogs.
And that's the consensus with the players.
# team dog.
I sent Alex the picture when I was out on my 3 games in 3 days trip.
Oh, I saw
the person
it.
I was staying, it was 5 dogs.
Oh, the doggos.
They were so cute.
Oh, I love doggos. I don't know if y'all knew that about me.
People are just learning that right now.
Yeah, Amy likes dogs.
What?
Right. Well, if there's any player on the team that you'd like to hear from, let us know. And if there's a question that you'd ask them, tell us what it is, and we'll absolutely ask them for you. Moving on here, before we get finished, time for a rant.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
So I'll take about a minute here to do a rant. The CFL admitting that they made a mistake on the pass interference call in the Hamilton-Toronto game this past week it negated an interception by Hamilton, and then Hamilton ended up blowing a 14-point lead. Toronto won their game. There's lots of reasons why Hamilton lost that game. It's not the ref's fault. But the league admitting basically that, yeah, they screwed up, but there's really not much we can do about it now. It's too late. Well, that bugs me. Why come out and say it? Unless you're going to change something. Obviously, you can't change the game that already finished, but why can't there be something in game, especially when it's a challenge play? Somebody's got to be able to step in and overrule and be like, look, there is no way that's pass interference. The eye in the sky, the ref on the field watching, somebody's got to have a better say at something like this, where the league has to step in and somebody in head office has to get on the phone right now and say, no, not a penalty, 100%, that's not a penalty. Keep the play call as is, interception. Game probably changes. Game changes. Hamilton's probably looking at a win then. But I just think admitting something after the fact, it just doesn't do anything, especially when there's really no repercussions whatsoever on it. So for the league to do that, I mean, they made the right call by admitting they made the mistake, but there's really no reason to. Anyway, I just think that doing that is worthless.
I mean, I can kind of respect that they came out and admit they made a mistake, but you're right, with no recourse or no purpose behind it, what's the point?
Yeah, it does absolutely nothing other than anger one fan base and have people watching the game that are neutral fans or, you know, obviously not fans of Hamilton or Toronto that just watch it and be like, what's going on? Like, when is this ever going to change? All we hear is how we're trying to improve this game, and Randy Ambrosie's go guy, going to make decisions kind of not on the fly, but still have, you know, quick decision making. This is something that was changed a couple years ago, and it's got to change now. Like, it's just terrible that we're seeing these bad calls that are affecting games. I mean, reffing isn't ever going to be perfect, and I'm not suggesting that it should be or that it ever will be, but...
Reffing, no, but challenges should be pretty much 100%.
Especially when it's 100% clear that the guy wasn't touched. Well, maybe that's something that'll be looked at a little bit harder in the offseason instead of changing something mid-season. Time will tell. And finally, we have our Piffles Pick'em to get to. This week, Hamilton at Winnipeg, Saskatchewan at Toronto, Ottawa at BC, Edmonton at Montreal.
I forgot again.
Of course you did.
I was distracted. I'm changing my profile pic to a puppy.
She's had enough of us.
I think everybody else has, so I think we should wrap this up pretty quick. I'll start. Winnipeg, Saskatchewan, Ottawa, and Edmonton. I'm staying true. Montreal's not winning a game for the rest of the season.
I'm going away team across the board. So Hamilton beats Winnipeg, Saskatchewan, Ottawa, Edmonton. Hamilton just looks like a good football team right now.
Winnipeg, Saskatchewan, BC, Edmonton.
There we go. So we all have different picks for the first time in what seems like forever.
Hmm.
Hmm. Indeed.
Hmm.
All right. Well, we'll see who gets bragging rights next week.
Let's just end the show with a bunch of hmm.
Hmm. All right.
20 minutes of that.
Yeesh. Yeah, no thanks. But anyway, that's going to do it for us this week. Thanks, everybody, for tuning into the Piffles Podcast. Coming up on the next week's show, we're going to recap the Riders game against Toronto. Hopefully, we're not talking about how bad the run defense is, but I have a feeling we'll be talking about that some more. We're going to preview the Riders game against the Ottawa. Amy, here it comes. Red Blacks! There. You good?
Thank you for backing up.
Yeah, no problem. And that's going to be on Friday, October 13th, a Friday night game
Friday
at Mosaic
the 13th.
Stadium, and a Friday the 13th. Ooh, that's going to be fun.
Spooky.
I've been frustrated. I can't find a Pennywise costume. I was going to wear that to the game.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Right?
You know the guy that paints up his face and looks like the Joker? I bet you he shows up as Pennywise.
Who's Pennywise?
It.
The clown from It.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there with a green balloon.
That would be amazing. Hopefully somebody does that. And then leading into that Ottawa Red Blacks game, we're going to have Engaging with the Enemy. See if we have another rant, another Hottie Bowl entrance, possibly another Canadian, since that seems to be the narrative this year. A Coney Island Poutine Cafe Piffles player profile, and more. Until then, give us a quick follow on Twitter, at PifflesPod. You can follow me, at RealAlexD.
And follow me, at Safamud.
And I am at CFL Hottie Bowl.
Send in your Hottie Bowl requests to Amy, who you think should be nominated for this year's
yep.
squad. Pictures help.
Slide into my DMs.
There's your open invitation. Slide into Amy's DMs.
Don't really. Nope. I don't want any naughty pictures.
Dolts.
Ew.
I don't even know where to go from there, so let's just finish off the show here. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. We're on Instagram as well. Search Piffles Pod. And check out our website, piffles podcast.com. Stuff going up there every day. Tuesday takes Steve's power rankings on Monday. Show comes out usually on Wednesdays. Greg's pick six, NFL picks on Thursdays, and a game preview on Friday. So we're always putting stuff up there. So make sure you're checking out piffles podcast.com for a whole bunch of great stuff. Piffles Podcast is brought to you by Bryn Werrett at Royal LePage Regina Realty. Check out BrynWerrett.com. That's BrynWerrett.com. Thanks for listening.
We're drinking town with a football problem.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.